Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson, and as always, I am here with Mr. K.C. Clapp.
Thank you. I would like to be called Packy Call AC now for the rest of the episode.
What is that, Case?
Well, a Packy Call is a plant that is disproportionately thick trunk as compared to its height and has relatively few branches.
Ah, the chode.
Yes. Now that you say that, I don't want to be called that anymore for the rest of the show. Thanks, Alex.
You
appreciate that.
You fucking chode.
It's a Packy Call. Thank you.
This guy's really sensitive about having a chode.
I'm very sensitive about my Packy Call.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Sorry for the dick jokes right off the bat. I didn't mean it that way, but then as soon as it happened, it was very obvious that's where I had to go.
It's as good an entry point as any, Casey. Welcome to Completely Arbitrary. Casey, we have a lot to talk about today, and I would like to propose a let's get right into it.
Oh, Alex.
It's been a while.
All right. Let's do 20 seconds each.
Oh, okay.
Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Casey. A lot of good things happening in my life right now.
That's great.
Some music stuff, some personal stuff, some exciting plans about where I'm going to be traveling.
That's right.
And I'm feeling good.
5 seconds. Well done.
That's the first thing I can think of to say.
So Alex is like, 5 more seconds. I'm just going to go into screensaver mode.
Christmas song. What was that? Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls, yeah.
All right, Casey, are you ready for your 20 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and go.
I'm doing pretty great. I got some big things coming on right now. By the time you all hear this, I will be on a bike ride across Iowa, which I'm pretty excited about. It's called Rag Ride. This is the 50th anniversary. It's been on my agenda for many years. My good friend Max Anderson told me about it, and I am now able to do it.
Wonderful, Casey.
It's very exciting.
Well, this week we are talking about, I would say, a tree that I've wanted to cover since day one.
Yes, me too, honestly, really.
And so this is a long time coming.
We've actually planned to cover this tree approximately 1 year ago.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but then we ended up not doing it because we were like, well, okay, well, we have to do this summer vacation thing.
Yes.
We got to do it during the
summer. We can't just talk about a tree. We got to tack it onto some weird gimmick.
What is the problem with us?
I don't know, Casey. God. But we've set a precedent, and we can't stop now.
We can't stop now. Yeah, so here we are.
This week, we are discussing, on our summer vacation, episode 3, we are discussing the baobab.
That's right. I think it actually should be, more precisely, a baobab, which, ironically, is less precise. Man, I'm good.
I don't understand.
There are like 9 or 8 different species of baobab. Okay. I think there's 9.
We are talking about a baobab.
Yes, one particular species, because many people actually talk to them all as as one thing. So right. they're ubiquitous across Africa.
It's like saying pine tree.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But they're all
a little
like
less extreme.
They all look really similar though. Mm. So like if you see a baobab, in fact, if you go to the Wikipedia page, which I have to admit right off the bat, I use Wikipedia a lot on this one, and I'll explain why later.
Wow. I did too, Case.
Excellent work.
Uh-huh.
But if you scroll down to, they have like the species on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And there are, they're all epic, beautiful photos, but there are just these few species that are just eight recognized species. And they all look really similar. Like
wow.
you with pine trees, there's like a 130 some species.
Sure.
And you see one, you're like, they kind of look similar. I can
sure.
see, you know, your Jeffrey pine, your ponderosa pine, all the southern pine. These similar thing, but people would just note them all as the baobab tree.
Yeah, Casey, we are, you know, as a part of our summer vacation, we are visiting specific trees.
Exactly.
And I'm so excited. Ooh, I've got the jitters for this one.
Hey, calm down. Rub your ear. There you go.
Block over from the Boulevard of Broken Dreams is the Avenue of the Baobabs, and we are going there, my friend.
That's right. We're going to the south and to the east across the continent of Africa over to the small island nation of Madagascar.
Fuck yeah, we are.
I say small. It's actually the second largest island nation. Do you know what the first one is?
Ooh, Greenland.
No.
Sicily.
Bigger.
Bigger.
Way bigger than Greenland and Sicily combined.
Island nation, Australia.
It's Australia.
Of course.
Yeah. It was a bit of a trick question, but not really a trick question.
Yeah. It's an island. Isn't everything an island?
Right? It kind of is. It really is.
Where does it stop? Where do like we draw the line?
There is no line, you know?
Why isn't Bernie Sanders talking about this?
Yeah, seriously. The biggest island nation is actually the United States and all of the associated South and North American
thank
land
you.
Masses.
Thank you.
We know this.
America's
anyway,
first.
Yeah,
it's true
second,
after all.
Asia.
satire. Casey, we've got plenty to talk about, but we can't do so before a break.
That's right. We're going
to
take a big breath and we're going to get right into it.
How about that? We'll be right back with Baobab Talk here on Completely Arbitrary. Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a blooming. Those people are a walking around. That sun is a shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. people are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates. Sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we are talking Baobab, and more specifically, we are talking the Avenue of the Baobabs, and more specifically than that, Casey, scientific name?
Andisonia grandidarii.
Grandidarii.
Yeah, I guess it would be more like grandidarii.
Okay.
Because it's named after a person whose last name is grandidarii. Oh my God. Grandidier is his last name. They add an I to the end of it because they are Latinizing it. So apologies for my, I had to pronounce it several different times. And now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to say grandidarii. And then taking off the I's is a, you know, now it's a hard thing. I have to readjust back.
I will say sometimes when we're recording this podcast and something like that happens, I try to think in my head, can I edit that cleanly? And I don't think,
yeah, you can.
I don't think it's happening.
You have the magic in your fingers, Alex. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. Well, actually, no, that's the thing. They don't know. They don't know. That's how good your
thank
magic
you.
Is.
Thank you. Yes, welcome. Thank you.
It is named after that. In fact, this is, it's kind of a funny thing. So I did some research on this. Andisonia is the genus name. Again, there are 8 species. The one we're talking about is the either Grandidier's baobab or the giant baobab.
Oh, wow.
Which is endemic to, as are 6 other species of baobab, the island of Madagascar.
Okay.
There also, there's another species. Yeah, there's one species, Digitalis, I think is what it is, which is across the entire African kind of continent. It's just, it's all over the place.
I've got some news on that one.
That one is, it's the one that everyone knows.
Sure.
But they also look really similar. So the one that you, that is the one that, say, Rafiki was in The Lion King.
Okay.
That's the species that we...
Thanks for putting it in terms that I would understand.
I just want to make sure that we're all always on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Digitalis.
Digitata.
So, Andisonia digitata is the African baobab. It's the one you're thinking of, everyone. This is the one you're also thinking of because in the pictures, you just don't really know the difference, except for it's bigger and taller and more single-stemmed, whereas the digitata is more like the Montezuma cypress, where it's this big giant base, but then they kind of like they were arguing, it's more or less just a big, big shrub.
Oh, boy.
That's kind of what the digitata is like. It's a little bit lower, branches a little bit lower, has more of a rounded crown.
Okay.
But the one that we are talking about is made famous because of the Avenue of the Baobabs.
Yes.
Which is really just a grove with a road that happens to be going through it, protected in kind of the central west coast of Madagascar.
So it's not a natural allay?
No, well, it is, but the road came second. So all these things were growing.
Okay.
It's man-made and the road went through it.
Yes.
But the trees themselves are about 2,000 years old.
Woo!
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Well, Casey, let's imagine that you and I are walking down a lonely road. Baobabs all around us.
Hold on, let me move my hair in front of my eyes.
Can you believe that I'm a professional musician?
You know what? I can, Alex.
For shame. Let's ID this tree.
Oh, right. Let's ID this. This is the classic giant African baobab looking tree.
Yeah, baby.
The size of it is about 100 feet tall. Generally speaking, it gets between about 60 and 100 feet-ish, you know? The baobabs around the Avenue of the Baobabs are all almost exactly 98 feet tall. Like, they're just right there.
Wow.
So
they must have all started growing at the same time?
Very likely. Okay. And they, in fact, were growing in a forest historically. So remember, these are 2,000 years old. Many of these trees predate people actually arriving in Madagascar.
Oh, sure.
And here's another thing. I'm sorry. There's just so many interesting facts that come along with this.
Well, hit us.
They are Austroasian peoples. They are Polynesians.
Right.
Who came over probably from Borneo over to Madagascar.
Wow.
Before people came from Africa to Madagascar. Even though, for those of you keeping track, one's really, really, really far. The other's just kind of really far.
And over a giant ocean.
Yes, yeah. But it's absolutely mind-blowing to me. But they've had, you know, mixtures of cultures and peoples over, you know, lots of time. But these trees, if they are even 2,300 years old, they will be about as old as the very first estimates for when people arrived in Madagascar.
Wow.
Between like 200 and 500 years before the current era.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So we're talking 98 feet, weirdly specific.
Yes, I know.
Per tree.
It is really weirdly specific. Everything I've read is like, yeah, they're about 33 meters, 98 feet.
Just give them the extra 2 feet and call it 100.
I'm just going to do that. But then again, you know, you need it to be like, because most people in the world think meters, then usually you'd be like, just call it 10 meters and call it good. It's like, you know, so it... Yeah, we in America, in the English measurement world,
sure,
would say, yeah, just round it up to 100.
But that's actually rounding it not up in every other country in the
world. They're like, what, 34? Huh? Yeah, that's really specific. But yes, so they grow big. They have these giant cylindrical stems that are very bottle-shaped.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They are that iconic tree. And their bark is very smooth and kind of reddish-brown. It almost looks like cork, but if you know, like you see wild cork, like you go to a cork oak tree, you know, Alex.
Yeah,
you've been to the New Seasons on Fremont and Williams.
When I'm out there in the woods and I see a cork board running through the brush,
that
wild
is
cork.
Oh my god, wow.
And I take out my little push pin blowgun and
try to stop it just so you can pet it.
That was dumb.
I didn't think so. I thought that's good. It's like that, but like, you know, if you get a wine bottle, the corks are very, very smooth. So it's the same thing, but they kind of pop them out and they cut them. This looks to me like the smooth cork.
Okay.
So it isn't like perfectly smooth like a beech tree would be, but it kind of has a little hole in it here and there, a little, you know, disfigured, something hit it there, something chipped onto that, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But it regrows its bark pretty effectively, but it grows really tall and has almost no branches, probably zero branches at all, until the very tippy top.
Pretty wild. And it's not like they did have branches and then they lost them.
Yeah, I think
they
it
just
is, though.
Don't start growing until that top part, right?
I'm not sure. So this is why I had to use Wikipedia. There is a lot of research out there. It's all behind paywalls. And so I'm trying to like find all this research that I can get without paying like $75 to look at one research paper about the, you know, how the movement of different ions within the thing happens. Like, I'm just like, how do these trees grow? Like, it's nothing but stock images of like small things. Like, I had a really hard time just finding open access information on the baobab.
Interesting.
It's very curious. There's one research paper that the Wikipedia page kind of goes back to over and over. It's number 4, if anyone goes. And it's from the Missouri Botanical Gardens.
Command F4. Yeah. And just look for every...
You're just going to find it. So it's really kind of curious, but it is, my understanding is they grow up and when they're young, they are just not interesting trees. Hmm. No one really cares what they look like. Their bark kind of looks like it gets greenish and kind of looks like it's ripping itself apart. Like it's very smooth, but kind of has it has a weird kind of pattern where there's like a lot of little lines crossing, and it looks like the young bark of something that is about to get really big and weird, but then it just becomes smooth and brownish gray.
Interesting.
So it's kind of fun. But suffice it to say, it grows up and it does not have a lot of branches. And what branches it does have are right at the tippy top. So commonly this tree is known as the upside down tree because the branches look like they're roots that are they're up in the air.
That's right. And Casey, I've got plenty of myths to talk about, local myths.
Oh, great.
About this tree. And
they're
I will
so good,
say there
aren't they?
Is a common thread.
Okay. All right.
Regarding that.
Well, so once you get up to those little branches, on the ends are these adorable little leaves that are palmately compound.
Ooh.
They're alternately arranged. In fact, this is in the same family as the ceiba trees. They are in the Malvaceae.
Ceiba. So
the
remind me.
Oh, that's the tree we did just last week.
Oh.
The
K-pop.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Ceiba. I know, we look at it and we think ceiba, but it is pronounced ceiba. C-E-I-B-A.
Oh, sure.
So, yes, this is a silk floss and their kin.
Okay.
This is one of those.
I buy that, just looking at it.
Right? It does. Like, when you, as soon as someone says it, you're like, oh, yeah, actually, totally.
All these trees look like they're, like they're full of something and they're like trying not to burst.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
They almost literally are.
They're so sinewy. Like, they just look like if you cut into them, like a big muscle would like flop out.
Yes, or like a slug or something.
Yeah,
totally. I love that exactly.
I also have one little visual analogy for the trunk, the main stem, excuse me. Trunk is to main stem as bush is to shrub. I feel like that is
accurate. I think that's fair. I agree. That's fine.
So the main stem, I think, looks like the body of like a trout or like a salmon.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get that vibe?
I totally do.
Because it's got sort of like this big, like, it almost has like a rib up the center of it, like a belly.
It kind of looks like there's a certain kind of worm. It's not a real worm, but they call it a worm in the ocean.
Mm.
It has like this fan kind of on top. And that is what it looks like to me, like this long tube worm kind of thing.
Hey, both aquatic creatures.
Yes, they both are.
Something to it.
So that is what you see, obviously. You get up into those branches, you see these alternately arranged, palmately compound leaves, 9 to 11 leaflets that are kind of bluish tinged. They have apparently these tiny little hairs, but I couldn't find a good picture of that. But there's apparently star-shaped hairs coming off.
Star-shaped hairs.
Yeah. Which makes me think they just kind of all start. There's many hairs that start in one spot, so they kind of go whoosh, and kind of come out. So that is the that's what you're gonna see. You get up there. These leaves are edible. People use them and eat them like salads, I think, or like spinach pretty often. And
man, how do you get to them?
I think they wait till they fall because they're drought deciduous. How many drought deciduous trees are we gonna do? Let's count. 1, 2.
Give us your best.
3.
I was going to say, you're missing the
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't think I ever actually watched Count Chocula, Dracula, Count whoever he is.
The Count. You were doing the Tootsie Roll Owl.
Oh.
The Tootsie Roll Pop Owl.
Yes,
you said
I was.
3.
The fact that you're like, oh, no, I know exactly what reference he was making.
Yeah.
Well done, Alex.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Casey, can we talk fruit?
Oh, we can. But first, I'm going to take you through the flower.
Oh, sure.
Because this is a nocturnal flowering tree.
Fun.
Yes, which is very similar to another tree we've recently talked about last week, the kapok.
Well, it would make sense. They're in the same family.
Exactly. And they're pollinated by the same thing. Bats and hawk moths and lemurs.
Wow. What?
Yes. It's so good. So many people are aware of the famousness of Madagascar being an endemic hotspot.
Yeah. There's just like a bunch of stuff that only lives there.
Exactly.
And nowhere else in the world.
Nowhere else in the world.
And also, like, the biodiversity is supposed to be fucking off the charts.
It's off the charts.
Yeah.
It is. There are more than, I think, 80 or 90% of the plants and animals on Madagascar are endemic to Madagascar, found nowhere else.
That is wild.
It was actually a part of India. And then India split off from Africa when Gondwana was initially separating. Sure. It was on the East Gondwana. So Australia went over here. Antarctica stayed kind of low. As Africa and South America started to split, essentially India was like, I'm out of here. And just went whoosh and shot its way up to Asia. On its way, Madagascar was like holding on and then looking at Africa, then holding on. And then India was just like, I'm done. And he just left. But then by that point, Madagascar was like caught in the middle and was like, well, you're gone. And Africa, you're so far away. I'm just going to hang with my own lemurs.
This is the best soap opera I've ever heard.
It's pretty intense. It is tectonic in its shifting.
So would you say that the flora and fauna of Madagascar is more similar overall to the Indian subcontinent than it is to Africa? Or has it been long enough where it's like...
I think it's been long enough because it actually... So the two, India and Madagascar, separated from Africa something like 180 million years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but then they separated from each other 90 million years ago.
Was stuff even alive at that point?
No, it was just simple rocks, Alex. I'm just kidding. No, there's plenty of life.
I don't know my geological timeline. I'm sorry if that makes me seem stupid.
But. Well, actually, side note, when I was doing research, someone said that this tree was 200 million years old. And I was like, what the... No way. I'm pretty sure... I mean, I'm no expert, but hold on. Let me ask my expert friend Google. And it turns out, well, actually, I am an expert. And plants didn't even develop flowers. Like, flowering plants only developed like 130 million years ago. And I was like, wait a second. There's no way this tree is like the one oldest tree before the ginkgos and before the dying redwoods that nobody's ever told me about.
It has evolved from a protozoa.
Yeah, exactly.
To be here with us today.
So it is. It's not 200 million years old. But as you're doing research, fellas, folks out there in the world, just remember, not everything is accurate.
Yeah, double check stuff.
Double check things.
And that's also just a great reminder for Completely Arbitrary.
Alex, stop.
Okay, so where were we, Case?
We're talking about the flowers.
Yes.
So the flowers come out. They are nocturnal, and they are growing on this endemic island with this endemic primate, the lemur. Mm. So lemurs are also a species of primate that were shanghaied on this island and have developed with all the rest of these things.
Okay.
So there are lemurs that only stay on the ground and hop around. There are lemurs that climb in the trees, sugar gliders. Like, there's amazing diversity of animals that are endemic with all these endemic trees. So they've all grown up together.
Cool.
So our species blooms at night and has white flowers that are just covered to the gills with pollen producing little stamens. Hmm. And then as the bats and the moths and the lemurs come by and they get some nectar, they move the pollen from place to place. Those then become these big fruit that are kind of like an oversized avocado.
Yeah, I kind of looked at them like a mango.
Yes,
almost.
Yeah. They have that exact same shape. And they kind of open up, and inside are these kidney bean-shaped seeds that are super edible. People eat them a lot. They have a lot of really good oils and fats in them.
Mm.
And they are inside this kind of dry pulp is kind of how it was described to me, which is also edible, but I don't know exactly how people would eat it.
Okay.
But I'm sure, you know, you live with trees for long enough, everyone kind of figures out their own way to prepare these things.
Of course, yeah.
But I didn't find anything that said, here's how they do it. But those seeds are really important to the people in this area.
Hmm.
And this tree is commonly known as the tree of life, as many trees are.
I think every tree we've talked about this month
is a tree of life. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is. So it makes you wonder, is every tree a tree of life?
Now, this is interesting.
Very curious.
Join the Patreon for more.
And we just argue every tree. Oh, this is our Tree of Life series where we talk about all the trees.
Oh my God, a second completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
What have we done?
Go over each one and talk about all the uses and how it's important to life.
Sounds great.
But because this tree grows in kind of more arid environments, ironically, it doesn't like to have its feet wet. So it doesn't grow in like wetland areas.
It's attuned.
Yeah, exactly. But it is, because it's the only big thing that's out there and it holds water and like the physical like catchment in some places, like there's a weird elbow and like water will sit at the top. Like, so it will hold water. And it also has these fruit that are eaten by almost everything. Monkeys mm-hmm. like to eat it. All of these lemurs, you name it. And people and animals eat the leaves. And on the mainland, elephants will actually scratch off and eat the bark in times of intense drought.
Oh.
Because the bark is filled with water. In fact, wow. The whole tree is filled with water, Alex.
Ah, here's the rub. So when you said that this tree, I purported that this tree looks like it's just filled with something and it's about to explode.
Yeah.
You were being literal there.
I was being quite literal.
This is a camel's hump of a tree.
It is exactly that.
Yeah.
It's stunning because I also noted this term, this pachycaul. And this is where you have a giant, mostly like cactus succulent-like plant that has this huge, big, fat stem that supports all of the water that the tree needs for lots of different things. Our tree, particularly, and baobabs generally, only use this stored water inside of their trunks to push out new flowers and leaves. And they actually will lose 12% at the minimum, at least that's one measurement that one study showed, 12% of the diameter size. It's so like the trunk of the tree will swell when the water is plentiful. Then at the end of the dry season, just before the rains start to come, it uses all that stored water to push out new leaves and flowers. And the flowers come just before the leaves.
Okay.
Then, whoonk, everything comes out and the trees bloom and then put out leaves before the rain comes. Then the rain comes and then it refills itself.
That is stunning.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. On top of all this, that stored water, they don't use it for photosynthesis. They're drought deciduous.
Yeah.
So they will only use their leaves and actually do photosynthesis and gas exchange and things during the rainy season, when there's enough water in the ground for the roots to suck the water up into the xylem and cambium and then push it out.
Wow. Like,
it's fantastically curious.
I am now craving a time-lapse video, Planet Earth style.
Oh, yeah, right.
Of these trees breathing.
Yeah, the only one that I know of is a time-lapse. It's a time-lapse, but it's sped up just a little bit of the flowers of one of the species opening up. Because there's a flower that looks stunningly gorgeous of one of the trees from Madagascar. And I'm not sure exactly which species it is. They just say baobab in the clip. But the flowers open up at night and they look like this big, long banana. And then the sides of the flower kind of peel their way back and then like curl away. So they kind of look like this. They kind of pop out, and then the stamens just kind of go wow and pop themselves out. So they look like this big, gaudy, like, hello, look at me, like, yeah, fake eyelash kind of flower.
I'm almost imagining like a, what's that bird with the really curly tail? And oh, it has like.
It's a bird of paradise.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Wow. That was more related than I thought.
It's on, honestly, I think maybe not this exact episode, but Planet Earth covers them all the time. So, yeah, I'm familiar with the bird.
I have this great memory, Casey, of you and I at a, you know, when you're in your 20s and all of your friends get together for New Year's and you like rent a house for the night, you know?
Yes, I do.
We all rented a big lodge for the 13 or 14 of us. And the night ended with you and me watching Planet Earth in the living room.
It was so good.
It was great.
I love that. I remember that exactly.
I feel like a lot of those big gatherings ended with you and me doing something.
Yes, because everyone's like, well, I'm just going to go to sleep. And I'm like, well, you want to watch Planet Earth? It's going to be awesome.
You're my most adventurous friend. Not that laying in bed and watching Planet Earth is adventurous.
I think it is, Alex.
And I am very much like, ooh, Casey's, you're the Gandalf to my Bilbo in many ways.
Wow,
you know what
thanks,
I mean?
Alex. That's really sweet of you.
You take me on little adventures that I wouldn't normally do myself.
Yeah, and I show you what dragons look like after I puff them out of my tobacco pipe.
And then I go home with all the money.
Yeah, you bastard.
Well, Casey, would now be a good time to go over some mythology?
Oh, I think it is a fantastic time.
Well, then, Choo Choo, Croson's homegrown trivia train is coming into station.
Well, everyone, mind the gap.
Hold on to your hats and glasses. Casey, I did some research, and I you'll be proud of me. I did this research while taking a bath.
Whoa.
It was great.
That is spectacular.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
So, Casey, the sort of, from what I understand, the sort of predominant indigenous group from Southern Africa, excuse me. Including the country of South Africa, are named the San.
Yes.
Now, before we get into that, there's some interesting etymology happening with this group.
Oh, okay.
By group, I mean like there are like seven or eight tribes.
Yeah.
That compose this quote San people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The word San actually comes from the language of a people who they warred with,
okay,
who would derogatorily call them San, because in their language, San meant to pick up from the ground, because the San people are hunter-gatherers, and the people they were warring with are agriculturalists.
Gotcha.
And so they were using San as a derogatory term.
Yeah, that's some real Cain and Abel shit.
Yeah, man, it's pretty hardcore. And so I read this whole thing about the sort of, there is this debate going on among the San people about like what to call the people at large.
Yeah.
From what I understand, and there's like conferences on it and stuff and like summits.
Wow.
Maybe conferences is the wrong word. There's summits, you know, where like they bring the leaders together and like talk about this shit. I think it's similar to an indigenous thing where we're from.
Yeah.
Like there was Indian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was like an incorrect name because it came from the fact that Christopher Columbus thought that he was in India.
He thought he was in India.
So that doesn't make any sense and shouldn't be used by us.
Yeah.
And I think most of the indigenous people that I've heard from have thought that Indian is like,
it's very common, but we would prefer maybe something different.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where you have Native American, but then that's using American, right? So that's been, I think, pushed aside, and now it's just indigenous.
Right? Yeah. They're moving towards the thing. Like first people in Canada, they're like, we're not native Canadians. We're native prior to Canada.
Yes.
So
First Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Another name for the San people is Bushmen.
Oh yeah.
But that is also derogatory.
I've heard Bushmen quite a bit about some other things that I was like, I wonder who exactly they're talking about.
Right. Doesn't it just so sound bad also?
Yeah, it does. And like, I know, like, I'm not sure how, like, other people, like, mm-hmm. in Africa, they say, oh, it's in the bush. So, like, there's Bushmen in Africa, in Australia, excuse me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very curious about this. I've never looked into it, though.
And I believe that Bushmen comes from Dutch colonizers.
Yes, yeah, probably.
So, for the purposes of these stories that I'm about to tell you, I'm going to go with San.
Okay.
However, the consensus among the leaders of the San tribes is that you just refer to the individual tribes by their names.
Yeah.
And not as a whole people.
Seems very simple.
So the ancestral land of the San people spans from Botswana, Namibia, Angola, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, and South Africa.
Okay.
And all it seems to me from my research, I never know how to present research because I don't want to tell anybody that I'm 100% sure.
Oh yeah, you just
70-30, right?
Yeah, just go for it.
Plethora of myths from all of these people
from all over the place, especially because this is probably talking about the one of the two native African species.
Yes,
which grow across it, like out to the Arabian Peninsula, like Somalia. Mm. So there's like Arab people. We are actually the ones who came up with the term baobab, right?
Oh, wow.
So it's like that. Well, they didn't. It's the term that was given to a French guy who then said, what is the name of this? And they said, oh, it's a baobab, but it comes from many seeded fruit in Arabic, which is spelled, cool. I think it's like baobab or something, just slightly different. You know how language kind of transitions ever so slightly over time?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so it's one of those ubiquitous thing, so I'd be willing to bet it's one of those trees that you wherever you go, no matter what people in Africa, they're like, yeah, that tree, we know it, we have a myth for it.
Yeah, because they all look so similar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought baobab came from that French guy. He was in love with a woman named Barbara.
Oh.
He's like, bab is bay. You're like, what? He said, bab is bay.
Yeah, he was before his time.
Yeah,
he really was
pretty cool guy. So Casey, here are some myths.
70-30.
And I do not have the names of the tribes for each of these myths.
Mm-hmm.
They all come from different mythologies, but this is what I have. So, tribes along the Zambezi River believe that when the world was young, in the beginning, baobabs were upright.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay?
Which, we should say, is there's a predicated notion here that
right.
currently they're upside down.
Yes, that they look like upside down trees because of the growth pattern of the canopy.
Yeah.
Looks like a root system. So, and also the bottle shape sort of implies that like the base is at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the
yeah.
shape of the stem.
Because it gets
itself.
Smaller as it goes to the top.
Yes.
And then the branches come out.
Yes, exactly.
They're really fucking weird trees.
Well, these people thought so too, Case.
Yeah.
That originally in the beginning of the world, these baobabs were upright and that they were proud and vain, right? And they lorded their size and stature over all the other plants because they're so comically fucking huge. The gods didn't like this attitude.
Can imagine.
And I wrote in my notes, I said, hey, that's our thing.
The gods are like, step off.
Yeah. And to put them in their place, the gods planted the baobab upside down.
Pulled it up and put it upside down.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then pointed and laughed, probably.
Ugh, gods. Such a fickle crew.
I love gods. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you get it. You get it.
A related myth to that one is that the baobab were too adventurous and would walk around the continents, right?
Yeah, okay.
And so God put them upside down so that their little feet would wiggle in the air like a cartoon.
Oh, I love that so much. Like, you just got, its head is in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
God,
yeah.
That's so good.
Exactly. Some sand people believe that originally the baobabs grew in the heavenly garden of paradise, which was their word for heaven.
Yeah.
Many other religions and mythologies. And the god Thora had these planted in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I don't have details on this, but Thora took a disliking to the baobab.
Ooh.
It's like, maybe because it was so mighty and majestic.
Yeah.
It felt some sort of competition, or like they were taking, you know, the Baobabs were taking attention away from this god. This is all purported.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? This is just what I heard from a friend.
Some tweets floating around.
Exactly. This is just it's in the ether.
Or excuse me, some threads.
Yes.
Floating around. No longer tweets.
Yes, precisely. I'm going with Facebook's new tweeting program.
That's exactly the reference I was making, Casey. 10 out of 10.
Yes.
No longer do we rate my references. We rate how well you pick up on what they mean. So Thora took a disliking to these trees and picked them up and threw them over the walls of paradise.
Yeah, get
and
out.
Down, 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 down they flew, and they landed in here on Earth.
Upside down.
They landed upside down.
Gosh, I just love this. So everyone, so this is the thread you were talking about. Most people's are like, yeah, these trees are upside down.
Yeah.
I love that.
Which is curious to me because when I look at them, that's not my first thought. I think, oh, what a curious looking tree.
Yeah.
But it must have been in the sort of, you know, the what is it called? The global subconsciousness.
Yeah, right.
Enough.
Exactly.
To be a thing across multiple tribes and multiple religions and mythologies.
Yeah. And that is something I think is really like super curious because you got to wonder, like, did all these people share it or was it one people that then spread out and became multiple people over time, and they all carried the same kind of base myth with them.
Sure.
You know, it's always one of those curious things, like, did it all happen separately? It's very possible. Yeah. Or was there this very stepwise kind of distribution that came out of it?
Yeah, interesting.
Very curious. Also, this is the same thing with, like, natural history, where did this evolutionary thing happen once, and then are all these things related? Or is it convergent where they all happen separately in different genealogies?
Well, Joseph Campbell teaches us that the latter is true. That myths, the same sort of myths appear across time and space through human history.
Where unrelated people.
Yeah. Ancient Greeks and ancient Japanese have the same stories, essentially.
It's wild. Yeah, but then, you know, you can think to yourself, people all started as one group, one species that then spread out. So it could be that that happened way back then.
Yeah. But we also have startlingly similar shared experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's just the human umwelt comes up with the same things every time, or at least many of the time.
Definitely case.
Here's another interesting question.
Oh, we could talk about this forever. I love it.
Why and how do people know that that's what a tree's roots look like?
Interesting.
This is my big question. Like,
well, I'm sure they harvested trees for
I suppose
for their roots for medicinal purposes.
You like
and
you
stuff.
Pull, yeah, exactly. You like pull up a small shrub or something.
Yeah,
because you can't pull up a huge tree. Like you have to maybe dig around the roots.
Yeah,
but you don't. Like now we know because we can take and like see them. You know, we can take away all the soil or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very curious. Maybe a tree fell over and they saw the roots of it. But I'm always just it's always just like one of those things. I'm like, how do you guys know that's what the bottom of a tree looks
like?
Yeah.
Like Stonehenge.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know? How do they do it?
How do they know how giant rocks looked? Okay, Casey, here are a few ways in which the tree interacts with people.
Yeah.
Around its mythologies. So there's this shared idea among the sand people that when a baby boy, why not a girl, is washed in water that's been soaked with baobab bark.
Yeah.
And he will grow up to be strong and mighty like the baobab.
Yeah. I've read that as well. And there was another thing, like if you did something wrong, you'd be eaten by a snake.
I got you.
What is that one?
So, well, let me give you this one first.
Okay.
That women living in villages with baobabs were more fertile than women living in villages without.
Yes, I read that too.
And I wonder, so the article I read purported that it's because they would drink a tea.
Yeah.
Had lots of vitamins, but that's like, that seems almost negligible.
Well, I heard a similar thing, and it also had to do more with the seeds and things.
Yeah. Because
you'd eat the seeds and you'd get a lot of the vitamins that normally wouldn't be available because the tree pulls it up from the soil, puts it into itself, and then you eat that.
Sure, but also can't you find those nutrients in other things?
Potentially in other plants, yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, we've talked about studies that show that, you know, people who live in neighborhoods with more trees
lead
overall happier lives than people without.
There you go. So there's less stress, maybe, which means
exactly
more fertility.
Yes, yes, yes.
I see where you're getting at.
And I wonder if that's been done by who's the economist living in Portland?
Jeffrey Donovan.
Yes, I wonder if he has seen a correlation between fertility rates and
baobabs.
Those old Portland baobabs.
Yeah, I don't know about fertility rate, but certainly
mortality.
Health. Yeah, he's measured baby weight. So more trees are correlated with higher and more healthier weights for babies.
Sure. But also more trees around, you're happier. You just want to have sex and make babies.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what you got to do. That's why the shade's there.
Casey, this snake thing you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the flowers are thought to be haunted by evil spirits.
Oh.
Because they come out at night and they're white. They're ghostly white.
Yeah. Oof.
If you pick one,
that's it.
You will be killed by a lion. However,
horrifying.
If you drink a tea made from the seeds, you'll be protected from crocodiles. So
hey, it's not a one-to-one. It's just two different things.
It's just two different things. Yeah. Don't pick the flowers and do drink seed tea.
Honestly, I love myths. I think they're so good. And I'm always so curious how myths relate to the experience and like how they got started.
Yeah.
You know, is it just someone's observing something and came up with a cool story?
Myths say a lot about the people that write them.
Because it also, I think it's very curious where it's more just a lesson, you know? Like maybe it was just some mom out there who told her daughter, like, don't do that because we eat the seeds. So if you go and pull the flower out, then you're not going to get the fruit. Then we don't have the food.
Oh, wow.
So don't do that. You're going to get eaten by a crocodile.
And
the kids are like, okay. Right. I'm sorry, mom. I don't got to do that.
Don't watch the TV so close. Your eyes will turn
square.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like all these fun little things that have become myths, but they are all based potentially whether in some real thing or not. Like it literally could be someone just made up some random thing.
Yeah.
And it worked because it made people respect, you know, this later thing. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, like cautionary tales are a massive theme in myths.
God, I love that.
I feel like most myths are telling you not to do something or else this will happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you're right. It's like, don't go into the woods or you'll get captured by bandits.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, there are no bandits in the woods, but I see what you're saying now.
But you'll step in a hole and break your ankle.
Exactly.
I don't want you to do that, so I better scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, scare the shit out of you. You're going to stay in your yard kind of thing.
Casey,
so good.
That was Croson's Homegrown Trivia.
I love Croson's Homegrown Trivia.
It's a lot of fun for me, too. And we'll post the link to the article I read on our show notes.
Excellent. Well, let's circle back around on this tree and close this talk out with a couple other interesting things about the tree's biology.
I love these episodes that are just wall-to-wall fun facts.
We're just going fun facts straight, baby.
Fun facts.
Can I tell you, one time I was talking with somebody just over a year ago at a little party for nursery people talking about a botanic garden here in Portland. And I was talking to someone and I was like, yeah, I run a podcast. It's called Completely Arbitrary.
By the way, that sentence could not have sounded more high society.
Thank you. I was trying not to make it high society, but you know, let me twist my mustache real fast. Thank you. There we go.
You had your little thing of champagne, your tiny little goblet.
Just a tiny little goblet, but it was worth $600.
Complaining about the cheese selection.
Well, honestly, so I felt very similar to that because I was, you know, just a normal dude being like, yeah, all right, cool, botanic garden. Yeah, okay, I'll come. I want to support it. And there's all these people who are, you know, a little fancier, like architects, landscape architects, like people who are paid very well to do things that I, you know, don't understand.
Sure.
And so I was like, yeah, we run these things about, you know, trees and other related topics. And the guy kind of like looked at me. He's like, oh, so it's just fun facts about trees. I know. And I was just like,
Did you wish I was there?
I did, yeah, because he could have audibly seen you crush the glass in your hand. Like, it's far more than fun facts, except for every now and then when the tree is just so fascinating, there's nothing else to talk about.
Fun facts.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
It's so much more.
However, yes, more fun facts.
Here are a couple more.
Here's some fun facts about a tree. So
we can say it.
Yes, but no one else can. Like, we can beat up on our podcast,
that's
but not
right.
You.
That's right.
This is, so it's a tree that I read many different things about. And this is probably what made it more challenging than a lot of trees. There's plenty of information, but there's a lot of disinformation about these trees.
Interesting.
Because no one quite knows exactly how they grow, or rather maybe no one is reading the sources that have like scientifically tried to figure this out.
But that doesn't stop them from writing about it on the internet?
It sure doesn't. Mm-hmm. And they did. So I kept looking through and I was like, give me a botanical description. I cannot find someone who, like, every episode, you go to our website, you go to the notes, you click on the first one, it gives you a botanical, like, here's how to identify the tree.
Right.
I cannot find
a
really good source on that.
Incredible.
Which is why it's going to be Wikipedia, because Wikipedia goes to number four, the annals of the, what is it? It's the annals of some botanical thing from the mid-90s, I think, from the Missouri Botanical Gardens. And it's essentially reorganizing the species and the genus of Andersonia.
Cool.
So essentially the Wikipedia is just saying, yeah, here's all the stuff from the Botanic Gardens and from Encyclopedia Botanica. Bruh. And from Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right. So, it's hard. Encyclopedia Botanica could be the next $1 billion idea.
Oh, it sure could. Yeah, that's gonna be a good one. Anyway, so it's a tree that people are like, yeah, it grows bark on the inside and it regrows bark. And I'm like, hold on, trees don't do that. What do you mean by that? It turns out that sometimes the baobab will grow as multiple different trees, like individual stems of trees that all grow from one spot.
Okay.
They grow up and then their bark and their sides fuse together. And then it creates this hollow center.
Wow.
That has bark on the inside.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But then people will often, for thousands of years, have actually carved holes in the tree, gone into it, and many people are like, yeah, they get water straight from the tree. It's like, well, they do. The tree itself holds water within its parenchyma cells in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
It fills itself with water, but that water is not accessible. It's like literally inside the wood.
Sure.
Like, literally thousands upon thousands of gallons of water in one individual tree.
You have to like press it out or something.
Exactly. Elephants like chew it out, but they're also eating the wood itself.
Yeah.
So you get water that way, but it's like essentially eating a bunch of rice. You're getting the water that is sucked into the rice.
Right.
Yes.
So, or a piece of fruit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't like squeeze a piece of fruit and juice.
Some of it do. Yeah, this would be like essentially a banana.
Yeah, like, it's like there's a well in the middle of the tree.
But here's where it gets confusing. There are some times where people literally let it fill up with water.
Oh, sure.
And
then
they use it as essentially a storage tank.
That's incredible.
So it's obviously very confusing because they're such big trees. They use them as water storage tanks. Mm-hmm. The trees themselves store water. So people have connotated those things together.
Okay.
So, very curious. Wow. The tree itself, like I said, will store water in these old cells, which are no longer active. As everyone knows, the xylem is just the outer section of living wood on the very, very outside underneath the bark. Then, on the outside of that is the phloem. But if you go in, you get the sapwood, right?
Mm-hmm. So
the sapwood is like maybe a few rings of growth, which are still alive. But then everything in between the last of the sapwood in the very center of the tree is inert. It's plugged up with tyloses, and it's no longer functioning as water storage to move up and down the tree.
That's your heartwood.
Yes, exactly. So these are baobabs. They will store water in these parenchyma cells that kind of go sideways, but it will actively have to like move the water through the cells themselves. Like the cells inside will be saying, okay, let me get some water. And then it'll slowly but surely pull the water out and move it up. So it's not like a storage tank of water for the tree.
Right.
And then sometimes there's bark on the inside of these hollow spaces because the trees grow in a weird way.
Casey, remember, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about like fake news tree in terms of tree stuff on like Instagram.
Yeah.
People would be like, the tree is screaming because you can hear the,
put your ear to it. Yeah. Right. There's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is ripe for misinformation about this tree.
And it's been out there. Well, it's a 200 million old tree. So, you know, well, so it's a fun, interesting thing where these things have been kind of convoluted.
Yeah.
But here's another quick fun fact.
Let's hear it.
Is that these...
And then we're going to go to break.
I brought this up at the beginning with this pachycaulls, which is a cool kind of tree. So apparently there are many different trees that grow like this, but a lot of them are monocots. They're palms or cycads also, which are conifers, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Gymnosperms for sure. So there's a lot of weird trees, and there's an entire section of growth, like an ecosystem in southern Madagascar that's called the spiny forest.
Cool.
And it's filled with trees like the Fouqueria columnaris and other like really strange species that are covered in spikes and then have a few leaves and a few branches that come out. And they are just these big, giant stems that fill with water.
That's wild.
It's really crazy. They are some of the longest-lived trees, our baobabs now, specifically these kinds of trees.
Yeah.
And there's no other tree that I've ever heard of that stores water the way that they do. They're essentially a succulent. But they're also woody trees with xylem and phloem and all the normal things.
Current growth.
Yes.
Or secondary growth.
Exactly. They put on rings going out.
Is that excurrent?
That is, and that's not excurrent. That's just your secondary growth.
Okay, excurrent, secondary growth.
Their whole form is excurrent.
I was mixing up terms.
But you're right no matter how you look at it.
Cool.
So it's really like very curious thing, but some people are like, well, what's a true actual succulent, which is, you know, just scientists arguing about some dumb arbitrary term. But there is like this really kind of interesting question where are they storing it in these big leaves and then the leaves are doing it? Are they storing it in the trunk? What's the tissue? How is it moving?
Yeah.
So it's really curious. But because the trees store so much water in their stem, this is something that truly blows my mind.
Ooh.
The way that they stand up.
By the way, this is the climax of the episode before we go into the prologue.
This is the climax.
Let's hear it.
Have you heard of turgor pressure before?
Yes, I know this. You told me about this, where if you imagine you have a house plant and you go a little too long without watering it and the leaves will look kind of sad and wilty.
Yeah, they start to droop a little.
And they're not dead. They're just, they're still green, but they're like droopy and kind of, don't have any like backbone to them.
Yeah.
The reason that happens because there's a lack of water, and the water pressure going through the leaf is what makes it stand out straight.
Exactly.
And firm.
Yes.
And
it's like blowing up a balloon.
Yes. Perfect. And that's called turgor pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the baobab half stands and holds itself up with turgor pressure throughout the stem.
Wow.
So this tree is woody, but it's also like not the strongest, woodiest tree in the world. And often the center will even decay out of it or will be cut out and used as a bar. Everyone in every popular thing also includes the fact that at one point it was used as a prison for something, probably runaway people from colonizers. So it is a fascinating tree in that regard. But I was just like, it blew my mind that it uses the same thing to hold itself up, this turgor pressure to literally keep itself standing up straight. So if it starts to lose water, the tree itself doesn't droop, but it loses its strength because it has now moved itself down the evolutionary track to say, I've adapted my wood to store water. In order for my wood to store water, I've moved away from being really strong, rigid wood like a Douglas fir would be.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm actually using the pressure of the water that I'm storing inside my cells to help keep me upright.
That is fucking wild.
They're crazy trees.
Well, Casey, at the very least, you have to say that this tree is remarkable. Am I right?
At the very, very least.
And we are going to diminish its existence by giving it a cone score, which must happen after the break. We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed, and I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough, but with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, a little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's T-R-E-E-S for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back. That was our discussion of the Baobab. We're going to give a cone score to this tree, and here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on the tree and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, will begin with you.
Baobab tree, ours the giant baobab or Grandidier's baobab, I think it's one of the most iconic things in the world. They are the redwoods of Madagascar.
Wow.
And they are just like you see pictures of like groves of redwoods or sequoias. There's just this boom, 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 boom. Like you just see these giant monoliths and nothing else.
Yeah.
And then you see a picture. You can just look up baobabs. 90% of the pictures that you're going to see are of the avenue of baobabs.
True.
Because there's just like 20 or 30 big ones right next to each other.
Iconic.
Exactly. It's iconic. So as an iconic tree, they have their due. They're one of the oldest living or oldest growing, I don't know what's the term I'm looking for. They live the longest of almost all broadleaf trees. So just like our ceiba, it is the tallest of the broadleaf trees and maybe one of the oldest. This is certainly one of the oldest, but because it decays, no one knows for sure. The rings, because of all this weird wood stuff that they do.
You do love
superlative tree. This is a superlative tree on the broadleaf side.
By many means.
Yeah. So I gotta say, I'm gonna give the baobab. Also, it's getting kind of a bad rap right now because they're kind of just dying. Climate change is not really treating them very well.
Damn.
They're also not being planted. Habitat destruction is taken away. So there are active organizations trying to protect these species. And again, they're endemic to this island. If they leave or the island goes through all these climactic changes and these people are desperate and they have to do things, these trees are probably not going to be the first thing to be saved.
Yeah.
So, well, actually, they very well might be the first thing to be saved. But then once you're down to desperation,
I mean,
yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So this entire area has been going through, like in 2021 and 2022, pretty intense famine and drought. So it's like this tree that has all this mythology and it goes back so long with all these people, yet climate change and the people themselves are desperate. Like the whole thing is kind of this story wrapped up in a thousand different parts of like intrigue and curiosity, yet also real life tragedy.
Yeah.
It's all there. And at the same time, it's not just like, let's take this, weave this story around this one tree. We don't have to do that at all. It's already there. Like the tree itself is iconic. If this tree was a dime a dozen and you could just walk down the street, like, oh, there's another baobab, just like we can do with redwoods here or down in California, pretty cool.
It would still be sick.
It would still be an iconic tree. So for iconness in just straight up, got to give it like a 9.7.
Damn!
Like, this is one of the most amazing trees, and it grows in such a curious way.
Yeah.
I have yet to find another tree that does either A, the same thing in such a grandiose, extraordinary way, and B, I can't find another tree that does it so well.
Yeah.
Like there, all the other trees that look kind of like, yeah, okay, they're all these other albicalls. They're not albicalls, all these other pachycalls. Which, by the way, means like fat skin or like big stumpy, like pachyderm. It's the same thing.
Oh,
like big kind of huge like goo, goo, goo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is pachycalls. Calls meaning the outside of the stem, like our white bark pine. Pine is albicalls. Anyway, everything's
far
connected.
Far afield, Casey.
So
come on.
I think 9.7 is appropriate for a tree that is just, it's got everything and it's the most fascinating thing about it. I'm going to go 9.8. It's 9.8, Alex.
Very well done, Casey.
It's out of this world.
9.8 golden cones of honor for the baobab from dendrologist Casey Clapp.
That's
a
right.
Fan, I would call you, of this tree.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Casey, I am also a fan of this tree. I think this tree, I think you put it best when you said that this tree is iconic.
Yes, technically you said that and I agreed.
Well, I think I put it best when I said that this tree was iconic. That's that's a pretty cool move.
I think I said it best when I said this tree's iconic. Recite yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that.
It's a real power move.
Yeah. I think I said it best.
The utility, the aesthetics, the place in mythology and culture. Religion, I'm sure, although we didn't get into that. This tree gives back so much, Casey, and it has so much to give, and it's just full of fucking water.
It is.
In a place that, especially now, is suffering from drought.
Exactly.
Boy, you know, I gotta give this at least a 9.75 golden cones.
9.75 at the minimum.
At the minimum.
Yeah.
That's a sliding scale from given the 9.75 to like 9.9. I don't think I can go 10 for some reason.
Yeah, I was curious why, because I was like, both of us can't quite go 10. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of the other 10s. You know what I would think would put it over the 10 for you? If it actually did grow mangoes.
Yes.
That would be the thing. If the fruit was not just like a nice savory seed,
yeah.
If the fruit was this incredible, like succulent fruit.
Oh, for sure.
You're just like, wah.
That would be a 10 out of 10, no problem.
Yeah. And I think for me, if it grew 100 feet taller.
Okay.
Like it's massive and it looks really cool, but if that massiveness just kind of reticulated out another section,
right?
Like if each branch also became a little baobab.
Oh wow!
Then I would be like, holy shit!
It's like a compound tree.
Yeah, exactly. Like think of all the biggest trees. Like they have all these wild, wacky things. The baobab is all the things. But it is also a little bit refined.
Yes.
It's also a little bit like, no, this is where I'm going to put my branches.
It's weirdly minimal.
Like, it is.
It's
yes.
just like, it just looks very like, there's no extra parts to it. It's
nothing. Yeah.
It's just very like straightforward. It is a well-seasoned, it's a ribeye with salt and that's it.
Exactly. Now I would be like, give me some mushrooms on there and that'll put you up to the top.
Brother.
That's where I'm at.
That was our review of the baobab. Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A. We've got a fun one today, Case.
Okay.
I kind of felt like doing a fun one. And today we got one from John.
Hello, John.
Hi, John. John says, imagine you're creating a new fighting video game. Casey, think like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, okay?
All right. I'm trying to think. Okay. Got it.
Or like Super Smash Bros.
I see. That's the one that I can think of because that's the only one I really have any familiar with.
Sure.
And just so you know, I'm very bad at that game.
Oh, Casey, you would crush me at any fighting game. That is my biggest genre blind spot.
Really?
I suck at fighting games and racing games.
Wow.
So Mario Kart, Super Smash, terrible. See, I don't even enjoy them.
I also don't really enjoy them. Like, they're not my favorite kind of games.
Yeah.
But everyone I've ever hung out with my entire life loves both those particular two games.
Right.
Super Smash and Mario Kart. I prefer Diddy Kong Racing myself.
They're very... Oh, me too, Casey.
Thank you, Alex. Finally validation.
John asks... So, oh yeah, we're making a video... We're making a fighting game,
we're making
right?
this video game. Okay.
But with trees and other related topics as the selectable fighters.
Oh.
So can you imagine a screen of little squares with little portraits in them and you select your fighter, right?
You select your tree, essentially, but also their related topic.
You're choosing your tree. So, Casey, we are going to each choose a fighter that is a tree and a finishing move.
Oh, yes.
We answered this question on the Patreon.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what we said, honestly.
Yeah, which is appropriate because we want to do it anew.
That's right.
Okay.
So, Casey... Let's each choose a fighter, and then maybe let's simulate a fight between the two and see how it would go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do it.
I'll start.
Okay.
Because it's on my mind and because I admire it so much, I'm going Baobab.
Wow. This is going to sound horrible. My first thing I was going to choose was Peach. And just choose whatever Princess Peach does.
A floaty peach tree.
That's what it does.
Well, I'm choosing Baobab.
Okay, all right.
It's a big, thick character.
Yeah.
Can take a lot of damage,
A lot of damage, yeah.
And here is my... And it kind of slow, I think. Kind of a slow fighter. Like, it punches kind of slow,
it also, it can't punch low, It's tall.
Yeah.
So, you can't... you got little arms. It's like a T-Rex. So, you have... Your arms are not... The branches, it's not your thing,
So, if you crouched in front of me...
Yeah.
I couldn't hit you.
Yeah, you couldn't get me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I could kick with my head, which is underground, because I'm upside down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you can just go goo-goo from underground. Like one of the things from Tremors. I see.
Exactly. The Tremor worm.
Yeah.
And here's my finishing move, right?
Uh-huh.
I go, shh, and the whole screen turns nighttime.
Oh.
And I open my flowers, and ghosts fly out. Evil spirits fly out of my flowers and surround you and decay you.
Oh, that sounds horrible. In real Indiana time. Jones.
Yeah, they melt you like the... Ark of the Covenant.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's my finishing move.
Holy shit.
So I'm like this big brawler that's very slow, almost like a Bowser type.
Okay. Yeah.
But then I just hunt you to death.
Wow.
What are you feeling, Ooh. Case? Who's your fighter?
All right. So the first thing that I had thought of was technically Peach, but I'm not really going to choose Peach.
Right.
I had thought of doing the Strangler Fig. And.
Ooh, yeah.
So as a character, it's there. Choose a strangler fig, and it would just slowly whip out at you and strangle you. But it would do that a few times, but the finisher would be that it jumps on top and then sends down its strangles.
Oh.
So you can't hit it. It's like on your back. You're like, ah!
Like immobilizes you.
Exactly. Then it just grows over the top of you until you're a goner.
Wow.
Strangles you to death.
And just like sucks you into its form.
Yeah, exactly.
So That's really cool.
That was my initial thought.
Can I give you a move?
Yeah.
That maybe you could use, like if you hit up and A at the same time?
Yeah.
It sends like... A wasp out.
Yeah, like the fruit opens up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or it throws a fig like a little hand grenade.
Yeah.
And it, when it blows up, wasps come out and sting you.
Maybe I should just choose this one.
What was your other idea?
My other idea was the Socotra dragon tree.
Oh.
Because mostly one, you're brute. You grow in the desert areas.
Uh-huh.
So I also wanted to attack you with another kind of deserty tree.
Okay.
But the Socotra dragon tree famously regrows its heads. If you cut it, it'll regrow its new top. So you can hit me all you want, but I'm just going to regrow like a hydra.
Sure.
And if you are fighting me, I have very sharp pointed things, so I can use my head of my crown as like a sharp pointed like shield.
Yeah.
So you swing a punch at me. All I have to do is press, I don't know, B or whatever, and then it'll be like, wing, and then you'll hit my shield.
Yeah.
You'll poke yourself.
I love
that.
You'll
be upset.
That's called, in video game parlance, that's called thorns.
Ah, yes. So this is thorns.
Where if I hit you and you have thorn damage,
yeah,
means I take damage whenever I hit you.
Ah.
Or I'm near you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This is it. Same thing.
I love that, Casey. And can I, a little visual detail?
Please.
Might be kind of fun. You know, sometimes they'll have like character interactions,
uh-huh,
like special character interactions. If you play with this character and this character and this character kills character B, there'll be like some special sort of thing.
Yeah.
You
gotcha.
Know, because they know each other in the lore or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're brothers. Maybe when I slice you down, or when I haunt you to death, you explode in this red blood,
yeah,
visceral gore fest.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
That'd be kind of fun because you're filled with blood.
I think that makes very good sense.
Wow.
See, my
how
finisher
fun.
Move though was to take one of my branches,
mm-hmm,
you know, and like little blood comes out.
Oh yeah.
My finisher move is to sacrifice one of my branches.
Oh cool.
Because remember, the Sokoto Dragon Tree, it's famous for like splitting off. It has that exact kind of symmetry where it's like the way it grows is a general term for how trees grow in that umbrella shape.
Yeah, it's like a fractal pattern or
exactly.
Something.
Yes. I want to do that, but I'll cut off one of my fractals, and I'll have, you know, only have a few of them.
Sure.
Like, I only have X amount. So as soon as I cut one off, it's used.
Only have three more uses.
Yeah. So it gets cut off, and I throw it at you.
Mm.
Like a, kind of like a little grenade kind of thing.
Okay.
It's not going to explode, but as soon as it hits you, it kind of splats you with blood.
Wow.
Which is my sap. What does that do? It calls in a dragon.
Yeah.
And then wherever I hit you, the dragon will come in and go, ooh, and like
wow.
Blow fire over there. So it'll damage you wherever that little splat of my sap ended up on your stem.
Oh, that's great.
So if I can get that right at the end, then the dragon comes and the finisher would be, you know, you do it once, twice, then the dragon comes in, you're hurt, but you're not
mm-hmm.
dead. So the finisher would be that they throw it and it lands on top and then your entire crown just gets burnt off.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
That sounds great.
That's what I choose.
Wow. Can I tell you where I thought you were going, where I wanted you to go?
Yeah, sure.
As kind of a joke. I was like, you throw the branch and it creates a puddle of blood and I slip on it like a cartoon.
And then fall over. Well, I just knocked the air out of his breath, out of his lungs. So that tree's done.
Pretty effective. Thank you so much, John, for your fun question. I love those ones, Case.
Wow. We got to make this video game. That sounds great.
If you have a question for us about trees or unrelated topics, other related topics, not unrelated.
No,
well, sure. Why
I
not?
Prefer that, yeah.
Join the Patreon if you want to support this podcast. Patreon.com/arbitrarypod. It means a lot to Casey and I and the podcast at large. If you give us a little monthly support, we much appreciate it. I think we're going to start offering yearly lump sum supports, Casey.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Cool.
This is a new thing with Patreon, and I'm gonna try to set it up because we've had a couple requests.
Interesting.
So keep an eye on our Instagram for updates on that if you're
interested.
Hey,
all right. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Learning about it all right at the same time.
Yeah, sorry. Here it is. Of course, the crown jewel of our Patreon is the $10 tier, the Cone of the Month Club. It's just what it sounds like. Every month, we send you a cone sticker. That is a conifer cone illustrated by an independent artist, a different one every month, a different artist every month, and a different species every month. And it comes with a little info card that tells you a little bit about the species, a fun fact, where it grows, and collect those, make your own little cone collection, just like Casey Clapp.
It's really nice.
Casey?
Alex Croson.
Wow, our summer vacation is almost over, huh?
Almost over. We got one more stop.
I don't want to go back to school. Please, can
all
we move
right.
to Madagascar?
We can. We can move to Madagascar, and that'll be just fine.
Amazing. Not that I couldn't go to school in Madagascar.
Yeah, well...
We could be like the wild thornberries.
Yeah, we'll do our own schooling. It's going to be fine.
I got my degree from the School of Hard Knocks, okay?
You did. You know what? And, you know, wherever you go to school, school's in session. Wherever you're at, school concession. I botched that one.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary Summer Vacation. Go put on your sunscreen and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Completely. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.